The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. After Jesus had been born at Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod, some wise men came to Jerusalem from the east. "Where is the infant king of the Jews?" they asked. "We saw his star as it rose and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was perturbed, and so was the whole of Jerusalem. He called together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people and inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. "At Bethlehem in Judea," they told him, "for this is what the prophet wrote. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, you are by no means least among the leaders of Judah, for out of you will come a leader who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod summoned the wise men to see him privately. He asked them the exact date on which the star had appeared and sent them on to Bethlehem. "Go and find out all about the child," he said. "When you have found him, let me know, so that I too may go and do him homage." Having listened to what the king had to say, they set out. And there in front of them was the star they had seen rising. It went forward and halted over the place where the child was. The sight of the star filled them with delight, and going into the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and falling to their knees, they did him homage. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. But they were warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, and they returned to their own country by a different way. The Gospel of the Lord. I think that reading is very familiar to us, of course, from childhood. And when we're singing later on We Three Kings, probably we've all sung that from our earliest days in nativity plays. There was always the fight to be a king dressed up well rather than a dirty old shepherd. So I think we're very familiar with that Epiphany story. And we often just think about the three kings, the three visitors. What I want you to reflect on today is actually the three sort types of people that Matthew presents to us, because he gives us three groups. There's King Herod and the political set in Jerusalem. There's the scribes and the priests, the religious people. And there's the, however many it was, we assume three because of the three gifts that came from the east. Because it's how they respond to the infant king. In a way, coming true was what Simeon said to Mary in the temple in Jerusalem: "This child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel." The political group, Herod, perturbed by the news, and so it says was the whole of Jerusalem. Herod, of course, they were an occupied country. There was Roman occupation, but it was a puppet king, Herod, that was there under the control of the Romans. But nevertheless, like so many, a tyrant, a dictator. And so he feels very threatened by the tiny infant. And in a way, that's always true of tyrants from history, from Pharaoh to Herod, from Cromwell to Hitler, from Stalin to some of those leaders of the Arab countries that were toppled during the year, and maybe some still to go. And often they'll think nothing of having huge massacres in the interests of their own survival. So think what Pharaoh did, think what Hitler did, you think what Stalin did, think what Cromwell did, you think of many, many throughout history. And this was Herod, of course, as we know, led to the massacre. He didn't want to go and worship the infant king. He just massacred them to try to get rid of him. So the political set. Now, of course, we don't live in those times. We have a constitutional monarchy. So queen and government, because the government under the queen. And each year, we have to pay tribute that our queen, in her annual broadcast on Christmas Day, always brings a focus to the Christmas story. It is always, always mentioned. Many different ways she brings it in. Quite firmly this year, the truth of the Christmas story, the Christ child, and the things that flow from that, the kingdom that he comes to bring. And we have to acknowledge some of our politicians too give the odd nod to religion. But we're equally clear in our own times that there's a whole move to sideline religion from anything to do with the nation. And it gets more vociferous and more insidious as the days go by. Many strenuous efforts to stifle the voice of faith. I always bid you remember that Baroness Warnock, who chaired many committees to do with life issues, beginning of life, end of life, another life, would never allow a Catholic on her committee because she said of their closed minds. We need always to bear that in mind. I said that at 9:15, and someone there said, I used to work with her sometimes. I never knew that. There's a truth. There are always those willing to stifle and silence the voice of religion. And you think of the assisted suicide group that made a report during this past week. There was hardly any religious input, and it said that at least 7 or 8 out of the 10 were all in favour anyway. Where are the closed minds? Then, of course, a few weeks ago, government was arguing that there are fewer people who are adopting children. There's so many to be fostered today because the adoption isn't happening. Well, I thought our bishops, not just collectively, might have replied, who forced the closure of so many of the Catholic adopting agencies that were very, very well-founded and very acknowledged? The political leaders. So when you're thinking of Herod, bring it to today too. You're thinking of tyrants, think of the Arab Spring, some of the people that have been ousted and all that. But all of them afraid, in a way, of the infant king. Because most of those Arab countries are not Christian. They're afraid of the infant king. The second group were the religious, and they were consulted about where Jesus, or this child who it was going to be, was going to be born. And they came up with the answer. They searched the scriptures. They found it to be Bethlehem. But did they go and worship? There's no record that they did. The inference from the scriptures is that they stayed where they were. They told Herod where it would be, but so far as we know, they didn't go. Now, many too, we know in our own times, acknowledge they've got a sort of vague belief, or they've got, yes, we have our beliefs, but not part of church. A God, as it were, without religion. But in actual fact, the Christ child left his church. He didn't leave a book. That's what his followers left. The Christ child formed the community, the Catholic community, the faith, Peter, the apostles. And he also left the ways of feeding and nourishing those people throughout their pilgrimage journey. So as we think of the journey of the wise men and the pilgrimage of faith they went on, ours too is a pilgrimage, a journey of faith. And the Lord who calls us feeds and nourishes us all on that journey. But it's like if you were cooking dinner at home and nobody came to eat it, they wouldn't be well fed and you'd be a bit fed up. The Lord is here and invites us, and that's following the men to worship. And as we come and worship in the way he asks us to do, he feeds and nourishes us. So the third group, the men who stepped out on the road, they found out where the journey was to be, and they followed that star to Bethlehem. I did say to them after the 6 o'clock last night, look out and see the stars. Couldn't see any because it was a very cloudy night. But they'd notice a star on a starlit night. Such a tiny light, however bright it was, still a small light. Only in the darkness you can see it, and a distant light. And yet, it led them to the Christ child. And that can be our faith too. We can feel a sort of great sea of darkness around us. We can feel that the flame of faith is very flickering, almost just like that tiny little starlight miles away. And yet, that faith can be fanned into a flame that the Lord invites us to. And so we come, we hear, and we offer our gifts. And I want you to just, three suggestions for the gifts, not that we, any different ones, but how we can link what they brought with what we actually do. Think of the gold I bring to crown him king, the kingly gold, our commitment to his kingdom, to Christian ideals in his society, those of justice and peace and love and joy in the Holy Spirit, so that the society we're in under the King, as it were, the kingdom of heaven, is permeated by his ideals, those things of justice and peace and love and joy, and all the things that we know come through the Holy Spirit. The incense of our worship, that recognition of who it actually is that we come to, the one that comes from the Father and goes back to the Father and leads us to the Father. Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Always on our last journey, I nearly always use the gospel, and as you know, I'm always talking about our last journey because there's always some of us on it. And that gospel speaks, Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That Christ child that we worship is our way, our truth, our life for our pilgrim journey. And the myrrh, always a sign of the suffering. We bring our belief in him who suffered and died and rose again to save us. And we walk with him, and the church ever reminds us of it, the way of the cross that's there all around us. As it were, our aspiration to heaven, to the throne of God and to the Lamb and the picture, but through the cross. It's always there for us. See in those gifts the gold, the frankincense, the myrrh, all leading us to that heavenly country bright where they need no created light, for the Lamb is the light.